given in direct voice by a communicator who gave his name as Ted Butler. Ted Butler was killed in a street accident in Leeds.
My name is Edward Ted.
Ted. What is your surname?
Oh, my surname. My name is Edward Butler, Ted Butler. I've been here now quite a few years. I came here for 1923, I think it was. Yes, it must have been 1923. Yes, it was 1923. That's a good few years ago now, isn't it?
Yes.
I didn't have much time for this sort of thing. In fact, I didn't really know anything about it. My old woman, she was inclined to this sort of thing, but didn't take too much notice. I just discarded it. There's a lot of old woman's talk, you know. She used to go to meetings occasionally. Used to sometimes tell me bits and pieces, oh, this is not rubbish. Here I am, myself, talking to you from here. So I'm placed in the position you might say of having to accept the fact whether I want to or not. I must admit I'm very glad to be able to. I'm very happy. I can't understand why now, of course, people don't all realize this and why there's any prejudice about it. I haven't any idea, because it's the most natural thing to live after what you call death, you know.
Can you tell us how you found yourself?
Oh, yes. I was killed in an accident. I was crossing the High Street on a Saturday. Well, I was always remembering. I've been out doing a bit of shopping, and I was across the road, and before you knew Jack Robinson, something hit me. It was some lorry that I think got out of control or something down the slope. Anyway, got me pinned up against the wall. I was out. Anyway, I just remember something coming towards me, and that's all. All happens to sudden, you know. I'm sort of... Well, I suppose it's as well not to dwell on those things, you know. The old girl, she actually, at the time, was in the proper state. She got married again some few years after. I don't blame her, why she was clean. I mean, at this point she was not quite, well, she was about 53 or 54, I think she was May 1.
But how did you actually find yourself? I mean,
yes,
how did you actually find,
yeah,
what sort of conditions?
Well, I don't know. All I know is that I saw a crowd of people all standing, looking down at something, and I had a look with the crowd, and I looked and saw someone who looked exactly like me. I thought, well, at first I didn't realize it was me. I thought, well, that's a coincidence. I could look the same as I do, exactly the same. My big twin brother, it was me, of course. I didn't get caught on at the time. And then I realized that my wife, who was there crying her eyes out, of course, she didn't seem to realize I was standing beside her. She was making such a fuss, as you do, of course, which is all very natural, I suppose, naturally, but she didn't seem to know I was there. I thought, well, this is the right to do this. And anyway, I put the body in the ambulance, you know, the wife got in, and some nurse or some woman was there, each listening to the nurse, and I'd actually got in with a wife who sat in this ambulance, and she didn't seem to realize I was sitting there at all. And gradually it came on me that that was me lying down there, and I was sitting there as light as rain, you might say, but wife didn't seem to have gotten on to the fact I was there, and I went to the hospital, and oh, then of course they put me in a mortuary, In my land too, I can fancy this, I can have that quick and window. And the wife was with Mrs. Kitchen next door, trying to comfort her, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh dear, it was a time, and that was the worst time of luck. The first week I spent the rest of it, then there was a funeral and all that, because I went to that. I thought to myself, the time, well, I don't know, it was all this fuss mad you do and expense for nothing, because here I was in the carriage, an all-stone carriage, the wife had, she knew my love of horses, I did have motors, but she wanted this all-stone, I suppose. And I thought it was all very touching, but at the same time, it all seems to be very sweet to me, because there I was. Nobody took any notice, the old parson, I knew him of old, not they had anything with him, they went to the church or anything, but when we had our first year christening, we went there. We were married years before that, another distance anyway. I was even standing there precisely the way, you know, and I thought, well, I don't know, he should know, if anyone knows, I went and stood beside him, kept nudging him with the elbow and the side, and they would notice at all, just went on with his ritual, you know. Then he still spoke to Mrs. and one or two friends, neighbours, and then just happened, he was all bad of it, lifted up his old skirts, thought he went, he couldn't care less, speaking on it a little bit. And there was a great business, I think one of them, old Tom Corbett, he was Casey, was your money apart from them, and he filled in the, you know, the other boat, filled in the whole coffin, the whole grave. I thought, this is a fine as you do, I must stand down here with this last time, get out of there. But he got no what to do. And a proper sort of thing, I must have hung around my house for weeks, I think.
Oh.
I remember once or twice I would go on the old trams, and first I was sort of all mixed up. I used to have a laugh too sometimes. I used to think, oh, the corporation, do I sit on here not paying me fair? They say something. But then again, I began to realize that everybody sitting on that tram, for instance, wasn't paying the fare either. Some of them got away with a few years, one way or another. Then, of course, there's one or two there that I met. I remember one of the first real conversations I ever had was with a woman sitting next to me on a tram. And I thought she seemed very sort of nice and this, and she started our conversation. She, I remember she said something to me, she says, what are you doing here? I thought, so if I find a way to open up a conversation, I said, what do you mean, what am I doing here? I might as well be here as anywhere else if I want to be. And she says, I know, I suppose, but you ought to be doing something, not just going up and down in trams and buses and worrying your wife, you can't do anything that way. So I said, well, I said, it's all very well for you, I said, but where do you go then? Of course I realised then that she was dead, you know, I thought, well, what's she doing on the same lark as me? If she's dead, she's dead, what? You know, I said, well, she said, as a matter of fact, she says, I've been coming up and down on the trams and the buses with you for some time, you probably never noticed me until just there. She's lurking here, waiting for a chance to try and give you a hand. I said, well, what can you do? So she said, well, don't you think it's time you got away? You got to out of these here conditions. It's only your thoughts that's holding you down. You want to do more than this, surely, hanging around the earth. Nobody takes any notice of you. What's the point of it? So I said, well, so she's in there. It's true, no one takes any notice, but I find it's better than sort of just sort of, well, not bothering at all. And I indicate, I said, I don't know anything else. So she said, well, that's your fault. It's your state of mind that keeps you down here. You must release your thoughts, she says. Think about things, have a higher thought than nature. You get away from all this. She said, of course, I understand. It's partly due to the way you pass the sadness of it and the thoughts, vibrations, as she called it, If you're married, your wife, and mother, and one or two other people, how was your dad? And she says, but you ought to get away from all this. She says, you come with me. So I says, well, where are we going? So she says, oh, I take you there two ways. So I says, well, shall we get off at the next stop? She says, what do you mean get off at the next stop? It's not necessary to wait and get off at the next stop. We can get off whenever we want to, once you've made up your mind you want to get away from things. So I says, what can I say that? So she says, you should know by now. She says that although you can get in a bus, for instance, sit in the bus and get off at the stop and get on at the pick-up place and all that, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to do what everybody else does. You're only doing things out of habit. She says, you've got to get out of some of those habits and realize that now that these things are important and you can, by the mere thought, you can transmit yourself, transfer yourself from this condition of transformation. She said, look, she says, here's my hand, you want my hand, just close your eyes and try not to think of anything in particular, just make your mind a sort of plan, but don't think of anything material anyway. So I did as she told me, I had to be hard. I don't know how long we must have been on that bus before we got off it, but still, that's the idea, not everything. Anyway, next thing I knew, it was as if I must have lost consciousness or something. Next thing I knew, I was sitting in a very nice armchair opposite this lady in a very nice little parlour, nice little room it was, you know, very pretty, very nice chintz curtains, wash the windows, there was a nice hearth rug on the floor, and although there was a wonderful feeling of lightness and warmth, the ice walkers, the sun was shutters in the windows, everything looked big and spare, and the table was nicely laid out, and all this everything one would want. It was just like as if I'd gone somewhere for afternoon tea, I thought, well, I don't know, where am I now? The place wasn't for me to kneel, that was very nice. So she said, oh, I brought you here. She says, you'll realize now, she says, you're in my little home. I said, well, it's very nice. I don't know what my wife thinks in a strange woman's home. So she said, ah, she laughed. She says, you'll think I let her. She said, that's far away from me. She says, now, we'll have a nice chat, a nice cup of tea, and I'll explain things to you. She says, I said, that's very nice of you, dear. She said, oh, by the way, she says, I need to know, she said, that I've been here for many years. I came here just at the turn of the century. So I said, oh, yes, she says, I had a seizure, she says, and I fell down beside the kitchen table. I always remember myself how it happened, and I must have fallen into unconsciousness, she said, but my dear mother came and fetched me away. Anyway, she says, I'm pretty happy here, and I'm living with my mother. So I said, oh, why? Because she's already your mother there, then. Oh, she says, she's out. Oh, yes, I says, well, how does she go to work? So she says, she laughs. She says, well, yes, I suppose you could call it work, but not work in the old way. My mother was hard-working woman on earth, you know. She used to take in washing for people, and she was always doing something or other. But now she's very busy. She goes to a place where she looks after the children. She was always fond of the children. And these children, little children who died in infancy or when they were very young, you know, she helps to bring them up and help them, look after them, you know, she loves their work. She'll be back soon. So she said, we'll have a cup of tea. I thought, well, this is nice. I thought, well, that's funny. I wonder if I'm going to taste it, because when I used to go from, you know, to my wife's place or some place, and they're having a cup of tea, I used to think, well, I have a cup of tea, but of course I couldn't pick up the cups, you see, and you know, I suppose I'm going to taste it. But she said, oh, you will, yeah. She said, yeah, because you're in an entirely different atmosphere. She said, you're in your natural conditions now, so everything around you will be where you are natural. So she says, you put out your hand, and she says, you'll feel. things. In your mother, when you was going back to your wife and other places, things didn't seem to have any sort of reality. To see any emotions, you have discovered here, and your taste is in place just the same as tea there on her side, tasting it was. And if she says, well, isn't that nice? I said, yes, it's very nice. She says, but I would have thought, I said, I couldn't have laughed. And I said, what do you think of being on the unearthly thing of us sitting up here having cups of tea? They think we were crazy, you know. She said, well, of course, that's the point. She says, people just don't understand. She says, yes, she says, according to how you sort of got on, as you put it, she says, and as you progress, she says, so you find things there for your need. If when you first come, you feel it's necessary to have this or that, it's provided for. But it's only a sort of temporary thing until you've adjusted yourself to the fact that you don't need everything, she says. Now, she said, I don't normally, she says, now, she says, have tea or anything like that, she says, but since you were a guest in my house and you're getting gradually accustomed to things, I thought it would help you to be able to make it as natural as possible. She said, but it's only for your benefit. I said, that's very nice. I'll leave you a lot of trouble. She said, oh, no, she's in trouble. It's part of my work. I said, work? So she said, oh, yes. She says, I make habits. She says, of going out to work. And if I can help someone, as like you was, earthbound. I said, what did you say? Earthbound. She says, I said, earthbound. She says, yes, that's what you was, poor dear. She says, you was tied down to the earth because of your state of mind and your thoughts. You couldn't release yourself. And that's part of my job, to help people release themselves from material things. So she said, I was able to do that. She said, I traveled up and down on that there, bus, she says, and on that tram, she says, many a time with people, because I used to live in that town years ago. So I said, oh, did you? So yes, she says, I made it a sort of habit, she said, to go back myself in the early stages, early years, to sit back to the town. She says, of course, there were many people I knew there, and I thought, the wonderful thing about helping those people, especially those who really need help from that place, you see, so I'm doing my little bit. She says, thousands and thousands of people do that, you know, and I'm only one of them.
Thanks.
Yes, oh, well, of course, I have something that I was really native from that place. I went there, I suppose, for, I must have been about 19 to work in a factory there. Many years of Leeds, I was brought on there. Of course, many years ago now.
What's the pack on your side, then?
Hey?
What's it like on your side?
Oh, well, depends on what you're looking at. Because there's so many diversities of places and conditions, you might say, that I can describe so many different conditions, and I suppose other people would describe something else, which in a sense is rather different. But in the main, I suppose if you jump pretty all together, if you could protect it, you might say you've got every aspect of scenery and condition of life that you would associate with Earth. I mean, I suppose it's like all the beauty of the world, your world, without any of the irritations and the snags and things. It's gorgeous places, lakes and forests and trees and birds, flowers, beautiful light, and not harsh, it's a soft and yet beautiful light. It's not. I first of all wondered if it was due to the sun, but I was told it isn't had to do with the sun at all. It's an illumination that is a natural color, natural being, but what its source of it is, I've really never discovered anything only something vastly different to the earth, where you're dependent on the sun and the moon and the stars. We're not dependent on those. It's a world which is so far removed, you might say, from the old idea of physics and sciences. And these laws which affect us all here are so natural in themselves that there's no injustice. There's a perfect realization, you might say, of things which somehow changes us all gradually, but we live in a harmonious state of freedom that is so beautiful, because there's no ill will, no bad thinking, cause half downstairs are spells, just say, for natural health, how you've gone, what you've achieved. Cause after time, like us in Galai, do get back if you want to have a civil wife, you got better, you know, I didn't wait for that. But, I don't know, it seems as if the old earth didn't mean the same to me. I went once or twice to places and it, or went to see people, but of course everybody understood. I went once or twice to a spiritualist place where the wife used to go. She used to talk to me about a little place down the Catholic Cross. But I didn't think too much to it. I went up the old stairs, this room where there is one or two people there that I recognize. But I once got a message out of sorts, but I don't think I was very good at it. It was very interesting. You were lucky, well, I learned a lot of experience. Of course you had to come up against more awkward customers. I should imagine those difficult ones, the religious ones, because they're so much sort of fixed in their minds. They had a lot of shifting, I should think. Being a man whose mind's open and not cluttered up with a lot of ideas, because I realised now so much more. I often think if only I'd understood this, I wouldn't have been running around, traveling around in classes and fans and worrying myself as I was at times, silly myself, all because I was ignorant. You know, that's the trouble with the world. Ignorance. Only people weren't ignorant of this here truth, you know, of life and what happens at death. Make a vast difference to an untold number of people in every shape and form, because not only would it make a big difference to the people that come over, but also a big difference to the people who are left behind. I mean, then one would see things differently and they'd understand more and it would change them, it would make a difference. New people often bring down all these dark barriers people have got about colour and religion and class and all that nonsense. Boys, I don't know, I've heard of utopia, as they call it, but on Earth. Well, I suppose if there is such a thing as utopia, this is it. Because, believe me, it really is a world in which there's a full life in every sense. There's no feeling of, well, of ill will of any kind. Everyone gets on fine. And we're all in harmony and there's great peace and opportunities to all the things you want to do, all the interests you want. It's a wonderful thing, you know, wonderful. I only wish I could convince everyone they the vast difference to all. Believe me, what I think you two are marvelous. The way you go around and the way you try to work and help people and show them the truth, I think you two are highly to be thought of. I do really. I heard about you from a friend of mine, as a matter of fact, who does rescue work, and he says you want to go and sometime try and get in touch with that Mr. Woods and Mrs. Green, because they really are doing a good job, not like some of these other people that, well, I won't say it's not for me to condemn, Mrs., but you're doing a wonderful job, bless you, folks. Anyway, I can't hold on. I'm not so good at this. I've been two or three times with this. I must say, first time I've ever had a real fall. Anyway, God bless you.
Thank you for coming.
And don't get down in the dumps. You can't freeze anyone. Bound to get some brickbats, you know. You're a good couple. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
We let you come because we thought that you would be in a distraction of a kind that would interest and appeal to many. It's just an ordinary humdrum, you might say, individual but on your side, but whose reaction to his life here is remarkable. He's progressed, of course, especially from the time in which he spoke when he first came over. This is true. There are many people who do cling to the earth and do carry on, sometimes for a very long time, in a bit of a set. being as they would have done when on Earth, traveling in buses and on trains, going to theatres and cinemas, visiting homes, people they used to know, all sorts of mundane things which hold them because it's the only thing that they seem to be able to understand or appreciate, in spite of the fact that they're completely ignored. You see, until a person's mind is changed, the outlook, it's very difficult for them to be released to a Western material things. Of course, a large number of people do think they are immediately at death. But there are people who, for various reasons, are held back by material thoughts, by conditions, and all manner of things. That's why only this truth were understood and accepted could save a great deal of unhappiness, and many people could see early on, after their passing, the truth of the realization of life. It would mean less work for many of us here who come to help them and bring them away from earth conditions. Indeed, one might go on to say how tragic it is that in life very few people know in your world about the realities of the spirit. They know so little about life itself, they're so concerned with existing materially that they know nothing of little things of vital importance, and they know nothing of the things of the spirit, the real life, that is, they can die for the continuity, a life that never ceases. It's a building for the things that are perfect. So many build for things of the material which have their moments forgotten. And I only wish it were possible for so many other souls that we have in mind to come and talk to you, and no doubt some of them will. We want to bring you a varied group of entities, peoples, so that you can have a very good cross-section of humanity and their reactions to life here, because we do know that you make full use of your recordings, and that gives us great pleasure. It's a great joy for us to come to you because we feel that we are achieving something. We feel that we are not in a state of wasting our time, which so often we have done and do without it. I know it's an important thing to give the personal proof and the evidence and the comfort of the individual, but so many people, once they're restricted, they're in nothing else. They don't do anything to forward the truth and to help others. You are doing a real work. It's a great pleasure and a great joy to come to you. It's been very nice this morning, particularly because I feel that in letting our friends through, we probably have introduced an interesting character, an interesting experience to many. And I think we make full use of it. My daughter has blessed you.
Of course, can you run?
I will, yes.
Can you give me any idea of who I can take your information about the cancer cure? Because I'm so anxious to help your wife with this.
Well, I appreciate you.
Can you give me any idea who I could take who would be interested?
I don't think I could. For the simple reason that I don't think anyone would seem to be interested who might be able to help. They weren't interested in my earthly lifetime. They would not have no interest shown whatsoever. I mean, it's less like even now. I know everyone is very anxious to help in this dispute, but we can only hope and pray. We are enduring justice in any way we can, but I'm afraid I cannot give you any names of who to go to. I think it would be a fruitless effort on your part, but I appreciate the kindness and the thought. Thank you, my dear Mr. Bell. Goodbye.
The second speaker that you heard from the World of Spirit was a guy to the circle, Dr. Marshall. Dr. Marshall, when on Earth, lived at Southend on Sea and passed into the spirit world. I do not know quite when, but not very long ago. I wrote to Mr. Marshall regarding the cancer cure, asking if I could help her to place this valuable information in the right quarter. But this has gone to Scotland, so she told me. And when it came back to her, if they had done nothing with it, then I would be given the opportunity to see what I could do. But Mrs. Marshall also passed on about a fortnight or 3 weeks after that. So this cancer cure, which was known when Dr. Marshall was on Earth, has not been brought into being as a helpful cure for those who suffer from cancer.